Thank you so much, Holly and Anna. It's great to be with you again, looking to God's Word, understanding how God Himself teaches us to talk to Him. As we've said, this is a new preaching series for 4 weeks. We'll be mirroring this series in our growth groups when Term 2 starts, and that should be a great joy as well as we talk about how this impacts us in our growth groups. As we've read, this is actually a really hard psalm. Psalms cover the full breadth of human experience, and this is particularly a hard part of human experience. So let's ask God for help as we do that. Dear God, we thank you so much that we can pray to you. But God, you know better than anyone else that this world is so full of pain and evil. So Lord, please help us when we pray. Help us to pray when we're overwhelmed and sad and angry. In all this, help us to always trust you by praying to you. Amen. Now, growing up, there was a book that my mom, she always told me to read. It was called The Heavenly Man. And eventually, when I was an adult, about 8 years ago, I read it, and it blew my mind. It's a story of a leader of the underground church in China. His name's Brother Yun. And Brother Yun, he suffered incredibly because he lived to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus. This is how he described his third time in prison. The police had destroyed his legs so he couldn't escape. As the weeks slowly passed, I became more and more depressed at my situation. It seemed as if the Lord had rejected me and left me to rot in prison forever. My legs were crippled and my spirit crushed. Each night I propped my lame legs up against the wall to try to lessen the pain. My beloved wife, Di Ling, was in the women's prison, and I had no idea what had become of my two children. It was the lowest point of my life. I bitterly complained to the Lord. I was 39 years old, but saw no hope or future for me. I told the Lord, "When I was young, you called me to preach your gospel in the West and South. How can I do that now? I'm sitting here in this prison with crushed legs, and I'm resigned to rot in this place until the day I die. I'll never see my family again. You have cheated me." Brother Yun, he's praying to God with brutal honesty. He's telling God exactly how he feels. He's angry and he's defeated, but he doesn't run away from God. Instead, he comes to God. He prays to God. Now, and in Psalm 10, we see that the psalmist is upset and angry. He's angry at all the injustice that he sees around him. The wicked people, they're succeeding, and the innocent people, they're suffering. And so he cries out to God, "Why? Why?" Verse 1, he says, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" And the Psalms, all of the Psalms, tell us that we can tell God how we feel, exactly how we feel. And they also help us to turn those feelings into words that trust in God's goodness and wisdom. And we see, first of all, in this Psalm, as we've talked about, God wants to hear our real feelings. We can complain to God. And the psalmist is expressing real feelings because they're seeing and experiencing real wickedness and injustice. We see, verse 2, "In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak." Verse 3, "He blesses the greedy and reviles or insults the Lord." Verse 8, "He murders the innocent." Verse 9, "He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net." Verse 10, "His victims are crushed, they collapse, they fall under his strength." And seemingly, almost most of all, the psalmist is angry and upset that this wicked person rejects God. Verse 4, he says, "In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." And it seems all of this would seem to be bearable if only the wicked man was punished. But instead, verse 5, "His ways are always prosperous. He's always thriving and successful." And the wicked man, he's confident in his wickedness. He says, verse 6, "Nothing will ever shake me." He swears, "No one will ever do me harm." Verse 11, he says to himself, "God would never notice. He covers his face and never sees." These words and thoughts of the wicked person, they're absolutely devastating for the innocent and the suffering. Because the wicked man's confidence, it just means that he commits more and more evil. And it feels like no one's going to bring him to justice. And the psalmist is so troubled and angry and upset because what he knows of God, what he believes about God, doesn't seem to match what he sees happening around him. Now, he believes that God cares for the helpless, but he sees them being hunted and killed without justice. The wicked man always seems to be successful. But the psalmist, he hasn't given up on trusting God. He's angry and he's sad and he's confused. And he tells God about what he sees and feels. Sometimes we feel that the wicked are thriving and never punished. Sometimes we see that the victims suffer more and more and they can't do anything about it. We see how scammers target our friends and families and steal their money. We see how the weak and helpless fall victim to businesses who lend them money when they can never pay them back. And we also feel injustice when there's no wicked person to blame. Many of us have been touched by the pain of infertility and miscarriages. A friend told me that when he had lost their, when he and his wife had lost their baby, all he could do was cry out to God. Why? Why? Why, Lord, did you let this happen? Why are you so far away? And when life feels unfair, when life is full of pain, do we stop speaking to God? Or do we tell God about our sadness and pain? When we're confused and hurt because life doesn't seem to match what we know and believe about God, when we can't understand why things are happening the way they are, God, he wants us to talk to him about it. He wants us to cry out to him. Because God, he wants to hear our real feelings. We can complain to God. We can complain to God, trusting that he listens to us and that he sees us and that he cares about us. Because we also see in this psalm that God cares and he sees and he brings ultimate justice. And so we can entrust everything and everyone to him. We can entrust the helpless to God, we can entrust the wicked to God, and we can entrust ourselves to God. To entrust means to hand over or to give over responsibility for something. When I have a problem with my watch, I entrust it to my father. I know that I can't fix it myself. But my father, who's a watchmaker, I can give over responsibility of my watch to him. I entrust my watch to my dad. And in the same way, the psalmist, he knows that he can't achieve real justice. And so he needs to entrust everything and everyone to God. The psalmist cries out to God based on what he knows, what he believes, and what he expects of God. He prays in verse 12, "Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless." It sounds like he's bossing God around, but really he's pleading with God to act according to who he really is. God's hand is an instrument of his will and of his justice. And so he prays, "Lift up your hand." And God, he sees and cares about the helpless. He has the power to rescue them. And so the psalmist prays, "Do not forget the helpless." We can entrust the helpless to God. Verse 14 says, "But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in the hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless." This is a prayer according to God, who God really is. He does see and he does care. And he does act to help the fatherless and the helpless. There's many parts of the world where Christians are treated really badly. This is a story that I found on the Open Doors website. It was a sunny afternoon as Judal walked toward their cornfields to check on the crops. Suddenly, a mob of young Muslim boys grabbed him and dragged him to a local political leader who had been leading mobs to target Judal's family. Immediately, the young men tied Judal to a tree and undressed him bare in front of everyone who was passed by. No one stopped the commotion, and instead, the onlookers began to watch and take photos and videos. They began to falsely accuse Judal of stealing a goat from a Muslim, stating that this is why he was being punished. The mob planted false evidence for the onlookers. As there was an adult and baby goat already tied to the same tree Judal was tied to. The young mob began to brutally beat Judal at the command of the local politician, who also encouraged the onlookers to film the punishment. No amount of pleading could stop this mob. The videos and photos were immediately posted on social media and went viral in the village. Judal's parents filed a case against the persecutors, and the local police found the incident to be true after visiting the spot and interviewing the witnesses and victims. Judal was immediately sent to a local clinic but had to relocate to another hospital because the perpetrators threatened the victims for complaining to the local police. They also threatened the doctors, forcing them not to provide any evidence of persecution. Full of bruises, Judal was very weak, mentally frustrated and traumatized after such a brutal persecution. We can entrust the helpless to God, and we can pray in light of Psalm 10 to entrust Judal and his family to God's care. Or we can pray, "Dear God, please heal Judal of all his injuries. Please protect him and his family and help them to keep trusting you." And in light of stories like this where we see real wickedness, we can also entrust the wicked to God. Verse 15 says, "Break the arm of the wicked man, call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out." And we might think, are we allowed to curse the wicked like this? Because it feels wrong and unforgiving. And there's three things that we can understand when we read and pray a curse like this. Firstly, curses like this formed a part of Israel's regular worship. This is just a glimpse of the curses prayed on the wicked in the Psalms. Secondly, curses in the Psalms believed that it was up to God, the Lord, to bring justice. And thirdly, curses in the Psalms call on the Lord for mercy and protection. And we see this curse, it's calling most of all for mercy and protection for the victims, because the psalmist, he wants God to remove evil from the world. While God uses his arm for justice, the wicked man uses his arm for wickedness and evil. And so the psalmist is crying out, "Please protect the helpless. And do that by taking away the power of the wicked." The psalmist wants God to take away the power of the wicked so they won't hurt innocent people anymore. Just like pulling the power cord would stop a blender from spinning its blades, the psalmist is crying out to God to take away the power of the wicked person. And we can pray Psalm 10, in light of Psalm 10, to entrust those who have hurt Judal to God's justice. We can pray, "Dear God, you have seen how those people have hurt Judal. Please take away their power so they won't be able to hurt Judal and his family anymore." And we can entrust ourselves to God. We can entrust the helpless, the wicked, and ourselves to God because he is king forever and ever. He has all authority and power because he's king. And he's shown us that he's the most kind and caring king that we could ever have. Verse 16, "The Lord is king forever and ever." The Lord, he is the one true God of Israel, the one true God of the universe. He is king forever and ever. The wicked think they will never be troubled. The wicked think they'll never be brought to justice. But they're wrong. Verses 17 and 18. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry. Defending the fatherless and the oppressed so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. God, he hears the cries of the afflicted, those who are troubled. He defends those who are suffering and he cares for them. God will protect them from the wicked. And he brings ultimate justice. The wicked, they're just earthly mortals. They won't live forever. They're not all powerful, but the Lord is king forever and ever. God, he does punish the wicked in this world, but we don't find an answer in this psalm. We don't know if this wicked person ever faces punishment for what they've done. And we know sometimes that wicked people, they die in peace, believing that they won't be brought to justice. But God shows us in his word that that doesn't mean that they won't ever be punished, because the Lord, he is king forever and ever. He will judge all the wicked who haven't worshipped him. They will be guilty in eternity. And the psalmist, he knows and believes that God sees and cares. God has always acted justly. And the psalmist knows and believes how God has loved Israel's ancestors. He brought them out of slavery in Egypt and settled them in the promised land. He knows how God has punished their enemies and also Israel themselves for their evil. He knew and trusted in God's care and justice, and so he entrusted himself to God. And we know even more than the psalmist. We can entrust ourselves to God because we know that God's care and justice are shown to us in Jesus. And Jesus, he certainly cared for the helpless and the weak. He cared for the sick people, the children and the sinners. But not only does Jesus care for the helpless, he even cares for the wicked. He cares for the wicked and sinners like us by taking the punishment that we deserve. I look at the wicked person in Psalm 10, their selfishness and greed and pride, and it's hard to deny that we're often selfish, greedy and proud. How we can often live as if God doesn't see what we're doing. Try to ignore that he's king forever and ever. We deserve to be punished for our sin. And real justice means that God doesn't take sin lightly. Instead, he punishes it. God is a judge who is always fair. He won't let sinners like the psalmist and us get away without punishment for our sin. Someone has to pay for our sin. If you gave me your car to drive and I crashed it, someone has to pay for the damage. You might be really kind to me and generous and say, "No, Jose, you don't have to pay for the damage." But then you have to pay for the damage. And it's like how someone has to pay for our sin. Our sin has to be punished. But in his incredible generosity, God gave his only son, Jesus Christ. He gave Jesus Christ to pay the punishment for our sin by dying on the cross. And if we trust Jesus to rescue us, he rescues us from our sin instead of us being judged guilty. We can entrust ourselves to God because Jesus died in our place. Yes, we need a king to rule and hear us when we cry out against the wicked and injustice. We do need a just king to bring justice. And we also need a sacrifice to pay for our sin, to take the punishment that we deserve. Otherwise, God, in his perfect justice and holiness, would punish us all. So God sent Jesus, the mighty, mighty King, to die for us. Isaiah 53 says this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Because of our sin, Jesus died for us. And only by his wounds are we made right with God and rescued from the punishment that we deserve. And because of Jesus, we can even pray for the wicked in a new light. In March last year, as a church, we were victims of the cybercrime, which cost us $35,000. And the wardens, they prayed for the criminals at each of our church gatherings. This is what they prayed. "Lord, we pray for the criminals involved in this theft. May the Holy Spirit convict them of their need to repent of their sins and to turn to Jesus and to trust in him." Because of Jesus, we pray for the wicked that they might find forgiveness in Jesus. Like us who have had our punishment taken away by Jesus on the cross. Psalm 10, it's a prayer trusting that God sees, God cares, and that God brings ultimate justice. And a few other ways, as we're inspired by Psalm 10, this is how we can pray. We can pray Psalm 10 to prepare for injustice that we will face if we're not facing it already. We can pray Psalm 10 to ask for God's mercy and protection. And we can pray Psalm 10 to praise God our King and to look forward to his eternal justice. Let's pray in light of Psalm 10 to finish. Dear God, we pray that you would help us to trust you when life isn't fair. Help us to cry out, "Why, Lord, why do you feel so far away?" Help us to entrust our whole lives to you. And when we're angry and hurting, please protect us. God, you are King forever and ever. Thank you that you will not leave the wicked unpunished. Thank you for rescuing us from the punishment we deserve and death through Jesus. Help us to always trust that you care for us and bring ultimate justice. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.